Take a listen.
Issue is that many Arab countries from political and all levels are now working to destroy the choice of resistance and to destroy the choice which the resistance is making, and to actually accuse the resistance. They accuse the resistance, the choice which the resistance makes, the wisdom of the resistance, or resistance taking responsibility. This happened in the July 2006 war, and it's being repeated today, hour by hour, by the Arab world. Here, I would like to assure you, my brothers and sisters, I'd like to assure all those who are listening to this speech, and I know our brothers in the Hamas movement and in the Islamic Jihad and all the Palestinian factions which are fighting today, sacrificing their blood and their flesh, using their fists in the Gaza Strip. Those people are not attached to anyone, are not attached to any outside interests. And I know them just like I know the resistance in Lebanon. And I'd like to assure you that the resistance in Lebanon was never a hostage to anyone. In the July 2006 war, on the 12th of July, when the resistance in Lebanon decided to go ahead and kidnap Israeli soldiers, abduct Israeli soldiers, it did this because it believed this was the only way to get back the rest of the detainees and the remains also of the martyrs. And I'd like to assure you, I swear, those who accuse us of being in our, sometimes they accuse us of being in certain camps or being tools in the hands of other countries. But let me tell you something. We, the Syrian leadership and the Iranian leadership, didn't have any knowledge beforehand of this operation of abducting the two Israeli soldiers. We took this responsibility. We took it with our responsibility due to ideology. We made this decision and we went ahead with the abduction of the two soldiers, and the enemy responded to this abduction with a big war which was prepared for even before the two soldiers were abducted. So the brothers in Hamas and in the Islamic Jihad, in the Palestinian factions, when they decided not to prolong the, some Arab leaderships come, very unfortunate this is, and they come and put responsibility on Hamas and the Islamic Jihad and the resistance factions. They put responsibility on these factions for the war, just like they did with us. They said we were responsible for the July 2006 war as well. And the unjust Security Council Resolution 1701 also held us responsible for the war. And this is one of the biggest, a very, very big unjust act which we face and which our brothers in Gaza are facing. Throughout history, no abduction of soldiers was responded to by big wars. And now in Gaza, what they're doing, the Israelis are not just responding, to rockets being launched by performing massacres against children and women and destroying Gaza. This is not logic, responding to launching rockets by destroying Gaza. Even according to international law, this is not logic. When our brothers in the Palestinian territories decided not to amend or prolong the truce, they had two choices: to prolong the truce with the siege continuing, meaning dying of hunger and of thirst, of desperation. The other choice was to end the truce for the sake of putting pressure on this enemy so that they could reach a stage whereby the siege would be lifted off Gaza. And there was no choice for the Palestinian resistance factions, the Palestinian resistance leadership, whether those who are inside the Palestinian territories or outside, they didn't have any choice except to not accept prolonging the truce, because the other choice was a continuation of the siege, which would benefit Israel and which would not benefit, which would actually hurt the Palestinians more and more. So today, some people are trying to criticize this choice. Some are saying that the choice made by the Palestinians to end the truce was an Iranian choice or a Syrian choice. This is an unjust accusation. I know that the Palestinian factions, when they made this decision, they were the ones who made the decision independently, it might have put some of its friends in the circle, might have given them certain information, might have consulted with them, but no decision was imposed on the Palestinian factions. And now today, right in the midst of the battle and the confrontation, just like in the July 2006 war when we made the decision, Iran did not dictate on us any decisions. Syria did not dictate any decisions as well. This, I swear to God on this. Our allies and our friends used to contact us just to say, to propose assistance, to consult on how to end the military campaign, how to put a stop to this campaign. But throughout the July 2006 war, nobody imposed a decision on us. Nobody put us in a corner. Nobody imposed preconditions. Yes, we were subject to pressures from other sides, from other groups, but I don't want to speak about this issue right now. Today as well, the leadership of the resistance in Gaza, the leadership in Gaza has the decision. It is a decision maker, and it only accepts a solution or refuses a solution. And the only one who puts conditions is leadership is Gaza. They are the in Gaza. They are the ones who reject or accept conditions. Nobody imposes on them any decisions, whether it be Iran or Syria or any other country. Even some try and say that the continuation of the war and Hamas and the Islamic Jihad and the resistance factions in Palestine, their refusal to bow down to the Israeli conditions is due to regional interests of Iran and Syria. This is also an unjust accusation. There is a resistance which is based upon a popular will, and this resistance cannot accept the Israeli conditions. If it were able to accept the Israeli conditions, it would have accepted them from day one, and it would have prolonged the truce with the continuation of the siege, preventing all what happened from actually happening, the military campaign. And here I'd like to comment on some Lebanese, unfortunately. Even when Mr. Saeed Jalili, the head of the Iran Security Council, Supreme Security Council, when he went to Damascus and met with the leaders of the resistance, he came to Lebanon also and met with the leaders, and he met with me as well. Our Iranian brothers and the Iranian officials come here not to impose decisions, fight or don't fight, stop fighting or hold back. This is not the case, as some people try and show. The Iranian officials come here to consult, to hold discussions, and to ask questions. How can they provide the appropriate assistance? Because they are officials, and so being officials, they can propose such assistance. And I'd like to tell you very, very frankly, this resistance now in Lebanon and this resistance in Palestine, this resistance is not a hostage and not attached to the interests of any country in the world. These resistance groups act in accordance with their national, legitimate, and religious and moral interests. And these resistance groups are not mercenaries, because these resistance groups are the groups that are paying the price with the blood of their families and sons and daughters and loved ones. And these resistance groups are suffering from the wounds. They are being pressured, the resistance groups. And so this is something which must be very clear. And today, in light of the discussions about a political solution and bills in the Security Council resolutions, the only one who has the right to accept or reject any solution is the resistance. The resistance fighters are the ones who accept or reject a solution. The ones who support the resistance groups are the ones who accept or reject the decision. Those who are putting up with the killing, those who are side by side with the resistance in Gaza, they are the ones who have the right to make a decision concerning any solution, far away from any pressures and far away from any dictations behind the scenes. So nobody raise the ceiling and nobody lower the ceiling. After all we experienced in the July 2006 war, I advise everyone leave the resistance leadership in Palestine. You know the wisdom and courage and honesty of this leadership, and this leadership has proven its honesty and its wisdom throughout the years. Let this leadership be comfortable in making any decision which it finds suitable and which also achieves the interests of its people. And this Palestinian leadership, the Palestinian resistance leadership, says that what it wants is to end the military campaign and lift the siege, and let the Palestinian factions, the resistance factions, work to achieve this goal, and let all sides help this leadership to achieve this goal. This is one side. Now, of course, what I said might not be believed by certain people, because there are regimes in this world which do not understand independent movements because they deal with spies and tools and mercenaries. There are Arab regimes which don't know how to deal with real independent movements or movements which have independent decision-making, independent administrative leaders. The Arab leaders are trying, some Arab leaders are trying to show a wrong picture. Today, one of the aims of this decision is to prevent the resistance in Palestine to make its own independent decisions. Now, another side, if we look at the political events, which we also must learn lessons from, and I might point out of this in a speech tomorrow as well, Europe and the European initiative, the whole of Europe has no value. Europe makes these calls, although it does support Israel, and although it justifies what Israel does, and although it provides cover for the killer and condemns the victim, then the Europeans, after all that, comes and calls on Israel to stop, to calls on it to begin with a ceasefire for 48 hours for humanitarian purposes. It also tries to provide an initiative, and Israel doesn't listen. This is Europe. So whoever believes that Europe can protect anyone is mistaken. Europe cannot protect anyone. Europe condemns the victim and supports the oppressor, and then the oppressor does not even listen to this European continent, does not recognize Europe. The Arabs, until now, it's become very clear, hesitation, weakness in their position. Yes, today there were calls, and yesterday there were calls to hold an Arab League summit. This is the least which can be done. And if a complete Arab League summit cannot be held, let's hold a mini Arab League summit, whereby those leaders who can participate go ahead and actually participate to take the appropriate decision. Israel today cannot accept an initiative and a solution except by the United States of America, via the United States of America, because Israel actually is an American tool, because Israel is an American bullet right in the middle of this region. And Israel cannot accept a European or Arab initiative or Russian initiative or Asian initiative or Turkish initiative. The only side, the only country which must accept, so Israel can accept any ceasefire, is the United States of America. And the United States of America provide a cover completely to the war on Gaza, just like it did in the 2006 war. It's also blocking any decision in the Security Council by the veto. And you know the Security Council is incapable of taking a decision for the benefit of the Palestinian people and for the benefit of the women and children in Palestine. And so, today, the ball is in Bush's court. Bush makes a decision, the American administration. Olmert does not make the decisions, nor does Livni, nor does Barak. These are small players who play in the area where they're allowed to play. But the decision of going to battle and continuing the battle and prolonging the battle, this is an American decision which is being implemented by Israel. Today, if America wants this battle to stop, it will stop today, if America really wants it. If America supports any resolution in the Security Council, Israel will hence accept such a resolution. So whoever believes that there is a difference, whoever believes that there are obstacles, is mistaken. America imposes on Israel what to do, and so America is still giving a complete cover to the war and is still giving time so that Israel its tool in the region can achieve some of its announced aims or some of its unannounced aims. And so the political efforts are a must, but as we said time and again, the most decisive issue is what happens on the battlefield. The battlefield today, yes, just like in the July 2006 war, hundreds of women and children are being killed every day. But the battlefield, whereby we still have rockets being launched, and today even further than previously, the rockets were launched to places which are farther away than previously, and today we also have battle on the ground. The Israelis hid the aims of the war from day one, but one of the lessons they learned from the July 2006 war was that they prevented the media, they closed the door of information for the media, they also took the telephones from the officers and from the soldiers. So today, when you read Israeli newspapers, there is very, very little information about what's going on the battlefield, especially if you compare it to the information which we used to read in the, during the July 2006 war. The Israelis are hiding the facts, the true facts about what is going on the battlefield. They're hiding these facts from the Israeli population because they know how capable or how much the Israelis can withstand. The Israeli population cannot put up with a lot of their soldiers being killed. Yesterday, the resistance fighters in the Gaza Strip and in more than one confrontation, they had an excellent performance on the battlefield, the resistance fighters. This shows a true will of jihad and martyrdom and a very high level of tactics and warfare. And the losses, there were high losses amongst the Israeli soldiers. The head of the Golani contingent was injured. Now, I don't know how severely his injuries are. One of the head of the Golani contingents in the Israeli army was also killed. Many Israeli soldiers were killed. Many were injured. And they've begun to tell the Israeli population about these facts. And they're beginning to speak about the difficulties they're facing on the field of battle. They are obliged to speak about these difficulties because after many days of a ground invasion now, where is the military achievement which they always promised? Today, one day, 2 days, 3 days, and then what? And so today they have been obliged to speak about difficulties on the battlefield. They're speaking also about tunnels. They're speaking about the roadside bombs which are waiting from them everywhere. They're speaking about the martyrs, the Palestinian martyrs, who are coming, sacrificing one after the other, bombing themselves right in the middle of Israeli soldiers. And this is a level of cohesion which is stronger than what happened in the July 2006 war, because in the July 2006 war, we weren't in that close contact with Israeli soldiers as the fighters in Gaza are. So they're beginning to speak about the solid performance, the will of the resistance fighters, and they recognize that the will of the resistance has not been harmed until now. And so here, we must focus on this issue. This reality on the field of battle or on the battlefield, in the end, this factor will impose the political solution. Hamas, of course, will answer positively to the Egyptians' request to hold negotiations and consultations because Egypt was always required to provide assistance. And when one of us makes a decision or takes a stance from any Arab regime or any Arab leader, when this Arab leader abandons his responsibilities, we must hold this leader accountable. This is natural in order to reach a honorable solution that ends the siege and the military campaign on Gaza. My dear brothers and sisters, I'd also like to say that this enemy and the masters or the teachers of this enemy and this whole group which agreed to the war on Gaza, this is a stupid, dumb group. Why? Because this war, just like in the July 2006 war, up till now has brought about results which are against the wishes of this same group that supported the war. It has backfired on them. So you know, during the last few years and during the last few months, efforts, American and Israeli and some Arab efforts actually were made to try and drag the Arab and Islamic world to say that your enemy is not Israel, but it's Iran. Wasn't this the plot, actually? Weren't there efforts, political media efforts made for this to happen? So whoever wants to continue with this direction does not wage a war on Gaza. Whoever actually wants this to happen does not wage a war on Gaza, because the war on Gaza has brought back the main idea to the Ummah that the enemy is Israel. Israel, which kills women and children and destroys mosques and hospitals. So waging this war actually has reaffirmed the conviction that the enemy is Israel and not Iran. Even the Security Council, moments ago, well, actually Olmert, I'm sorry, just a few hours ago, said that if the Security Council makes a decision for a ceasefire, we won't be committed to this resolution. So if Olmert says we won't commit ourselves, there's no problem. But if someone else takes this stance, that's forbidden. Now, one other point. The Americans and the Israelis and some Arabs worked vigorously during the last few years to take the conflict in the region, to transform it into a sectarian conflict, especially between Sunnis and Shiites. This war, whoever wants to achieve this goal, does not wage a war on Gaza, because the war on Gaza, because Gaza is part of Palestine, and Palestine concerns all Arabs and all Muslims, not one sect of Muslims, because those who are being killed in Palestine are our brothers. So this war in Gaza has brought about cohesion and has also destroyed any feelings of hostility between different sectarian groups. The plot was previously to create divisions among different religious sects, and during the past few years also, there were efforts made in order to make national relations, normal ties with Israel. We even found that some Arab governments and some Arab countries, which don't have any peace agreements with Israel, these same countries tried to make normal ties with Israel, and Livni began to announce very clearly that normal relations is an introduction to peace in their language and is not a result of peace. Normal relations, which the Arabs always gave as a price for a settlement with Israel, Israel wants it preemptively. It wants normal relations before any settlement. So all the efforts to make normal relations and all these conferences and meetings and visits which were made and all these slogans we heard, whoever wants actually to make normal relations with Israel, or Israel which calls on the Arab nations and Arab countries to make normal relations, if Israel really wants this, it wouldn't have waged the war. And so this is a dumb war, and I thank God that our enemies are dumb and stupid. Our enemies who don't know anything but to shed the blood of men, women and children, innocent men, women and children. But when they deny and when they plan to go ahead with their plans and destroy the causes of our region, they fail in achieving their own aims because of their stupidity. My dear brothers and sisters, in the end of this speech tonight, I would like to thank all those who took part in all areas, who took part in the ceremonies for Imam Hussein, in spite of the very cold weather this year. And I'd like to thank you all for answering
Hezbollah Secretary General Sayed Hassan Nasrallah there, making that live speech from the Lebanese capital of Beirut. Basically, let me give you a quick review of his comments there. He said Israel is responding to rocket attacks, or its response to rocket attacks from Gaza, by destroying that territory is illogical. Resistance in Gaza is not dependent to anyone, especially in that decision-making, he said it elsewhere during his speech. He said Iran never imposes decisions on either Gazans or Hezbollah. He added, Europe normally protects the killers and condemns the victims. This is his comments about President Sarkozy's visit to the Middle East. He said, if a complete Arab League summit can't be held at this point in time, at least an incomplete one should be held to tackle the plight of Gazans. He described Israel as an American bullet in the region. And he also described the United Nations as unable to reach any decisions on Palestine. Elsewhere in his comments, he said Israeli population is unable to cope with large numbers of dead and casualties. That's why they're keeping the flow of information from reaching to the public. He said this war, like the one in 2006 against Hezbollah, has now backfired on its perpetrators. And at the end, he said that this war once again proved that the real enemy of all Muslims is Israel. Many thanks for watching. We're going to go off now, but in 1 minute, we'll be back with News in Brief.